Everybody, it's Mark Medina with the Bay Area News Group here with another episode of the Warriors HQ podcast. It means I'm back with my friend and colleague Logan Murdoch. What's up?
We have infiltrated the Warriors facility. We are not caring about what's going on with who needs it. We have taken over the space. It is...
You say infiltrate as if we've trespassed. We got passes here. We're allowed to be here.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Thanks for messing up the joke with the truth, Mark. I appreciate that. Thank you. Well, there goes that intro. But, you know, we're here in the facility. We're vibing, and we're about to talk some Warriors.
I ruined it. Well, we got passes here to look into an issue that's been pretty topical in the last week, and there's so many tentacles to it. This guy named Steph Curry is kind of important to the Warriors, and, you know, he's had a new role these last 10 games where Steve Kerr has staggered his minutes differently, opening up the second quarter with the second unit, opening up the fourth quarter as opposed to sitting, but then taking him out, you know, a lot of times midway through the fourth, a little bit in crunch time. But that's, I think, brought up a lot of different talking points, some angst among the Warrior fan base of why. What do you think of all this outcry here?
I mean, I think it's some of it's warranted, and some of it is just fans got to complain about something, right?
So, I mean, they are losing, not playing their best.
Yeah, I mean, but like I think with how the bench has played, it's caused Steve to find something that he has to do with this offense. You talk about they don't have a second quarter punch, and they didn't have one when they tried to put Klay Thompson into that role to start the second quarter. Steve Kerr had to do something with that role, and it wound up being staggering and putting Steph in that role to start the second and fourth quarters.
Yeah, and there are also times he tried Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant was pretty productive with that bench unit, but the bench wasn't as great, and I think there was always a concern that they're just kind of leaning too much on Durant to do his thing, where Steph is kind of a little bit of a different player. You have him being able to be a playmaker as a point guard, or maybe even move off the ball and have Sean Livingston do that, and Sean Livingston's not as effective if he's moving off the ball. So there's been times where he's handling instead of Steph. But I think the bottom line is this has less to do with who Steph Curry is a player. Like, there's no debate he's the most important player, and more to do with everything else. The Warriors, for once, kind of have some glaring holes in their roster, most notably for their bench. And so, you know, Steve's kind of weighing, well, he's going to play more minutes in the second quarter, and he actually hasn't played fewer minutes in the fourth, but it's just about how you've matched it accordingly. So, you know, he is out a little bit midway through the fourth and comes in a little bit later in crunch time than normal. But all things considered, do you think there is a point where Steve moves back to what he was doing before?
I think that for the time being, I think that's what he's going to keep doing. I think that, well, whenever DeMarcus gets back, that's when
things will change.
That's when things will change. I mean, that's when you have a bona fide all-star in that. Not saying that Steph isn't a bona fide all-star, but you have a piece, another all-star that you could put in there that could fill that David West role. It'd be David West on, like, steroids, you know what I mean? Just a really good basketball player in that role. But I think for the meantime, I think that they're going to keep with this stagger movement. And quite honestly, this isn't anything new for Kevin. I mean, he used to stagger in Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook when Billy Donovan was the coach. So it's not something an adjustment. It's more of an adjustment for Steph. And they're going to have to figure out what they do during that period when Steph isn't in the fourth quarter. That's when they're going to have to figure it out and make sure that they're staying on par with that.
Yeah, and the thought process behind all this is, again, to like make sure at all times either Steph or Durant's on the floor. And then, you know, he's been tinkering different lineup combinations, but as of now, you know, Steph's been playing the second quarter with Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, Jonas Jerebko. So you have a bunch of different playmakers that can allow Steph maybe some flexibility of either having the ball in his hands and not having the ball in his hands. And, you know, before the game against Sacramento, you know, that lineup had a pretty good offensive rating. I think it was 114, according to NBA.com. So from that standpoint, it's been good. I think judging by the comments, you know, on the timeline and all that on Twitter.
You read the timeline nowadays?
I mean, I'm not getting into, like, clapping back and forth or wondering what people are saying. It's more of what they're saying to me about why they don't like this idea. I think more of the angst is, well, why do this to the detriment of Steph playing in the fourth? And I think there's some, like, kind of fine-tuning with that where it's not a matter of he's playing less. He's playing more. I think the concern is, A, can you afford to play him not as much as he normally does in crunch time, because that's when, you know, games are on the line. And then number two, why take the ball out of the hands of one of the best playmakers ever and your best player? And my answer to those two questions would be this. Yes, like when the game gets tight, like in Sacramento, Steve Kerr decided to go with him the entire fourth quarter because he wanted to get that win. But generally speaking, you know, this whole narrative that games are won at crunch time, sure, but you can also venture that games are determined earlier in the game, and the Warriors can't afford to be falling so far behind in the second quarter and then suddenly having to make up ground. Maybe they could do that before, but you know, their all-star talent still doesn't have enough of a cushion for all that different margin for error for getting different teams' best shots, the pace, and, you know, playing at a really fast rate this season. So I would argue that it really doesn't matter. It's more about the quality of minutes as opposed to the quantity and when it's happening.
Yeah, and I think, let's be frank about it. I mean, this is because of the bench. There's a reason why this is happening. They haven't had the production that they thought they would have with this youth movement. They haven't had a repeat from Quinn. They haven't had Jonas has been really good in spurts. I'm not going to say that he hasn't, but as a whole, the bench hasn't been good. And compound that with Klay Thompson's early struggles. I mean, he's playing well now. An unorthodox move like this needed to happen for them. It remains to be seen how that is going forward. I think one X factor in that is how well Klay Thompson is playing right now.
Yeah.
If Klay can continue to, you know, shoot at the clip that he's shooting at, he's shooting like over 50% from three and 50% overall in the last like 3-4 games. He's playing really well. If he can keep that, then that could give reason for step that maybe there's a tinker that lineup again.
Yeah, and I think the second point about, you know, Steph, why deny him being a playmaker? I think that point would be valid if you didn't have good playmakers on the team, and you know it's almost like Sean Livingston, he's not effective moving off the ball. He's just not a threat. Like, he's a great player, but no one is scared of what Sean Livingston can do off the ball. Klay is obviously better off the ball than handling it, but when you're looking at Steph dividing some of those duties with Kevin Durant, Andre Iguodala, Draymond Green, that's, I think, what makes the Warriors unique. Like, you don't ever know when you're going to have to account for Steph's playmaking and his gravity, but then you never know when you're going to have to account for Draymond bringing the ball up and down the floor or Andre. And that, I think, maximizes kind of the different options offensively, that it's not just so much that you have to find a way to stop four all-stars and four really good offensive players from scoring, as well as Andre Iguodala, but you have to find ways to stop them from all the different styles and approaches they're bringing offensively.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to, you know, take it out of Steph's hands in this instance. I mean, he can run off screens. He'll get the ball back. He's Steph Curry. You know what I mean? He can play both ways in that instance. And I mean, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world right now. And I think that this is, if they can adjust, I think the Warriors will be fine through this. Weird change.
How about this, Logan? I was struck by this, and I totally understand the circumstances, but I think it opened a lot of questions on what happens moving forward, where Steve Kerr decided to temporarily go away from that in the Sacramento game, where he played Steph the entire fourth quarter. He played really well, 42 points, shot 14 of 26 from the field, 10 of 20 from three-point range. And there was that conversation. I think he hit a three like around the seven-minute mark that tied the game up. Kings called timeout, and you're wondering, hey, are they going to take Steph out now when he is rolling and this game could go either way? They decided not to. But What I was fascinated with this is Steve Kerr admitted that part of the reason why they went away from that is that he felt like he needed this regular season win, which is totally against usually what the Warriors are about, where these regular season wins and chasing them, it's kind of beneath them. And then number two, you're looking at kind of the minutes total here. These last few games, if you're looking at it, and part of it is, you know, they played the Rockets in overtime, but Steph's at 38 minutes against the Kings, 40 minutes against the Rockets. He was able to rest a little bit, 32 against the Suns, but then he had 36 against Portland, 42 against Portland, and that's Steph's in his prime. He's 30 years old, but normally the Warriors want to keep him and the other All-Stars between 32, 36 minutes a night. Because it's all about, you know, the end of the season. So I'm wondering, Logan, like, where do you draw the line in the sand of how many games is it fine for them to go over that minutes threshold without kind of losing sight of the big picture?
It depends. I think it all depends on the rhythm that they're having, whether it be the bench or you know, other guys stepping up. And I think that as of late, other guys have stepped up. You talk about Klay Thompson, who's playing really well. And I think if they keep doing that, they should be fine. But I think this is a better question for you, Mark, because you have seen a guy's minutes going up really affect his play, and Kobe in his last true great season. I'm curious to see your thoughts on that, just because, I mean, I know Steph isn't on that level of minutes. I think Kobe was playing like 45, sometimes 48 minutes, but you know, where do you think that, you know, the line should be drawn as opposed to when you're playing your superstar that many minutes?
Yeah, I mean, in that specific case about Kobe Bryant, the 2012-13 season, it's entirely apples to oranges, because at that point, you know, Kobe was a lot older. He was, let's see, 33. And they were just trying to get into the playoffs. That was a team that, you know, you thought it was going to be one of the championship contenders because they had Kobe and Dwight. They just got Dwight Howard and Steve Nash. They still had Pau Gasol and met a world peace. But it, you know, was this combination of a perfect storm of Steve Nash being hurt to open the season, them going through a coaching change from Mike Brown to Mike D'Antoni, Dwight not being fully 100% and then not really being on board with what his role was, Powell not being on board with what his role is, Mike D'Antoni trying to install an offense that is conducive to today's NBA, but at that point, he didn't have the personnel for that. So, you know, in Kobe's mind, they're just trying to fight above water to be able to get in the playoffs. So, you know, he made it clear he's going to play 48 minutes and, you know, through seven games. And then he wound up tearing his Achilles. And I know, you know, Gary Vee, the former Warriors or the Lakers trainer, well, and he's always been in the mind that it's a stretch to equate that amount of minutes to then him tearing his Achilles. Like, he's looking at the totality of Kobe playing a lot of basketball his entire career, and then with Team USA and everything else. But it certainly does not help when you're increasing that workload. And so where this applies to the Warriors, they're a lot younger. They're not like scratching tooth and nail to make a playoff spot. They're still the second best team in the Western Conference. What's up, Jacob Evans? But, you know, I think it is an interesting thing, because the Warriors are always about, you know, trying to find ways to maximize rest days and lower their minutes, because it's all about playing April, May, and June. So, yeah, I wouldn't say that it's bad for Steve to want to chase a close win to just try to get that momentum. But at some point, I imagine that he would draw the line in the sand that, you know, he's willing to take that loss for the larger picture. But I think his reason for not doing that against the Kings, I think, showed that he doesn't feel comfortable with where the Warriors are at, because they had, you know, a few losses to marquee teams, and the Rockets and the Los Angeles Lakers and the Trailblazers and the Rockets. Like, he felt like they needed this win to establish that kind of momentum that the Warriors have been looking for in the past month to get on this long winning streak. And they're in a prime opportunity to do it this week. Some bad teams against the Knicks and the Bulls at home. So this is when it should be about getting these guys some good rest and having some easy wins. But Logan, to your point, we never know what kind of Warriors team we're getting here.
Yeah, I mean, we were at practice today, and Steve was like, yo, there's been three times, or maybe like two or three times where I've said, oh, this is the time I think we're comfortable and we're going to make a run. We'll see what happens, though. But do you think that this is the time? I mean, I know it's a prime time for them to make a run. If you talk about the schedule coming up, it's I believe it's the Knicks, then the Bulls, and then they go on the road to play Dallas, I believe. Do you think that this is a realistic time we can finally say, oh, Warriors run is coming?
I'm not comfortable in saying that just because it hasn't happened yet. I'm comfortable in saying this homestand against the Bulls, against the Knicks, and then the Bulls, because they're not great teams. And they're at home. They have some good days off in between. You know, they play Tuesday, and then they might practice Wednesday or Thursday, or maybe they have off Wednesday. There's a lot of flexibility there. But I think, kind of circling back to what we're talking about with Steph Curry specifically, what I see this week for to be a really good opportunity for him is to get his minutes down to what it normally was, so he's not putting all this burden on him. And then, you know, I think ironing out more of that stagger rotation, where I think the team and Steph himself can see more and more of the benefits. Because right now, these past 10 games since they have done the stagger unit, like, Steph is very mindful that the combination has worked in the second quarter. That lineup has been good, but there has been, I think, some frustrating moments with him playing off the ball and also not playing as he was used to in the fourth quarter. Like, he's not expecting to play the entire fourth quarter, but just being yanked midway through the fourth, where most games there's a lot of times where you can have that momentum shift, especially when it's close. I think there were some points of frustration, but frankly, there was some frustrating moments when they played up in Portland and they got a win and it wasn't a close game and he was still pulled. It was only for like 90 seconds, but he was frustrated because he's just not used to that rhythm. So I think this week could be very instrumental in Steph kind of turning a corner and that acceptance. And let's be clear, like, he has been a team player on this, but he's also a competitor, and he also admitted that he's trying to adapt to just the rhythm of things.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm looking at this. Remember, I think it was in Portland, he got really pissed. You could tell that he was really angry when the cameras caught him just like really just during the Portland game. And it's going to be an adjustment for Steph, but Steph, let's give him credit. He said all the right things throughout this whole process. He is not, I mean, he said that he was pissed, but he has said, like, you know, I'm willing to do what's best for the team in this instance. So, you know, we'll see what happens throughout this process.
Yeah. And I think another benefit to this, and I don't want to say it's a benefit because it's still something that hasn't been fully figured out, but I've seen some flashes, and I think it could also lead to better results moving down the line for Kevin Durant, because even though those guys have always been team guys, and there's a reason why they've won two championships since he's been on board. It's not just because of the talent, but it's because, you know, they've been team players and they've deferred. But there has been this push-pull this year. I don't think from a selfish standpoint, but kind of an X's and O's of, you know, Kevin's not always getting the ball as much as he'd like and as much as he should. And then there's stretches where they're not moving the ball as well and they're kind of going ISO heavy and overly relying on him. And I think when you take Steph Curry out, that allows Kevin to kind of be in his playmaking role. So you see a lot of times these recent games where Steph's out late in the first quarter, a lot of times that's when Kevin starts cooking a little bit. And I don't think it's necessarily a good thing that he's almost making up for the lack of touches he's getting early in the game. He should be getting touches early in the game. But I think that there should be this extra benefit that, you know, this allows Steph to be able to do what he does on the floor on his own and Kevin to do what he does on the floor on his own. And then when they're on the floor together, it's just about, you know, mixing all those qualities together.
I feel like it seems like back in the day with Kobe and Shaq were not in the sense of beef or anything, but just in the sense of contrasting styles. I know when Shaq was in there, the onus was always get the ball to Shaq in the post. And when Shaq would go out and leave Kobe in the game, Kobe, it would just be Kobe in attack mode, and a Kobe in getting his. And I think that that would be mutually beneficial to both parties. If they can both find a balance of like, okay, I'm going to get mine during this time, and then you're going to get yours during your time. But when we come together, we can play off of each other. And I think if they can get to that point, then they'll be good.
Yeah, and I think that's what they should be doing when they're not on the floor together. But, you know, I think this is mostly for the good because Steph is offers so much more than just shooting the ball really well, which he already does so well, is that he is a good playmaker. He is a good floor general. So when you're having him with these reserves, he only makes these guys better because if he's not on the floor, you know, no disrespect to Jonas Jerebko and even Andre Iguodala, but they're not getting the they're not going to be getting open shots as they would if Steph wasn't on the floor. But also, not so much Jerebko because like he's a big, but it's also easier to run the offense and play make if you're Andre or Draymond or Sean if Steph's on the floor, because all of a sudden they can't really pay too much attention to who's handling the ball because they see this little shooter here running around at different pockets and they have to account for it.
Yeah, definitely. But how much onus do you think that, how can the other guys in your mind help facilitate that? You talk about Andre Iguodala and you talk about other, also Draymond Green. How can they help facilitate this and kind of make it smooth over as they go through this offensive transition?
Yeah, Logan, to be honest, I think they've been fine. The second quarter unit has been fine for the most part. I think where the transition is with the fourth quarter. And that's – there's not a lot of easy answers to that because in the fourth quarter, they're opening with their starting lineup. So when they're taking Steph Curry out, you know, they had – all their other all-stars in, they had Kevon Looney in. It's a completely different dimension. And so you're either putting in, you know, Livingston or Quinn Cook. And I think those combinations, it's a little bit less natural because you don't have Steph's floor spacing and you don't have that defensive playmaker. And because Kevin's on the floor, there is a tendency, and this isn't against Kevin, but there is a tendency maybe to go ISO, whether it's dump the ball to Kevin or dump the ball to Clay. I think that's been the bigger adjustment. And maybe that probably explains why there is that angst, because this is happening in the final period when, you know, sometimes the game is on the line. You can't afford to experiment that way. But I would, again, I need to stress the bigger picture. Like as much as that is not ideal, just imagine the other scenario where all of a sudden, because they don't have Steph on the floor in the second quarter and they're having someone else who hasn't been as consistent with the second unit, can they really afford to be down double digits at halftime or midway through the second quarter, and then they're having to claw back in? The Warriors had shown that last year and other years, that customary third quarter push. But I think the theme this season is the margin for error isn't the same as it once was. It's not even so much as the Warriors, if only the Warriors are trying. Sometimes they are trying, and it's just they're not executing because other teams are getting better.
I do have a question for you. What do you think is going to happen with this? We touched on it in the beginning, but when DeMarcus does come back, what do you think? How do you think that's going to affect things with their stagger? And also, do you think that will obviously help that second unit?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that solves it because I don't think Steph's minutes are going to be staggered once DeMarcus comes back. This is one of the many things Steve is trying to do to apply patchwork to the reality is that they don't have a true center, and you know, you're going down with what the options are. We hit on this last week on the podcast with the state of the center. There's not really reliable options there. So this is what Steve Kerr is trying to manufacture. Once DeMarcus Cousins comes back, he's going to be in the starting lineup, and he'll be, I think, the first to be yanked out. You know, kind of like what Zaza Pachulia experienced, JaVale McGee experienced the last 2 years. And then he'll open the second quarter, and that's his chance to, you know, keep the second unit afloat. That's a chance for him to exert his offensive influence because he might not always have that with the starters. And so, yes, Steph's not going to have to go through this, I imagine, once DeMarcus comes back. So it's going to be a non-issue. And that's, I think, another one of Steve Kerr's points. Like, this isn't something that he's toying and experimenting with within the playoffs. Like, that's a wholly different animal. Like, this is kind of a temporary thing to buy themselves time where he can achieve that happy medium of making up for some of the deficiencies that the Warriors have, extending Steph's workload, but without extending too many of its minutes.
So are you basically telling the fans to calm down right now? It's just, it's not the end of the world. Is that what you're telling us, Mark Medina?
Just a little bit. I remember when I posted a video of Steve Kerr explaining the stagger, and someone retweeted, I think Warriors World, he said, in other words, Steve Kerr is telling Warriors Twitter to shut the you-know-what up. But in a very polite tone. He has a good way of doing that.
Yeah. And so he also has a non-great way of doing telling us to shut the you know what up. But I think that we'll have to see what happens. And hello Alfonso McKinney, who is
right here.
Huh?
Hey, what's the name of that store you was talking about?
Who?
With the shoes?
Who's that?
You. With the off-white stuff.
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
Prestige.
Hey, Alfonso, we got some good news for you.
Yeah.
It's the deadline.
Oh, congrats.
I seen that on Twitter, man,
Hey.
Yeah.
Found a lot of stuff out on Twitter.
Congrats.
Yeah, congrats. We're recording live, so this is all going up. We're recording. We're just letting it roll.
Yeah. I'm
about to go watch
Bama,
man.
Alrighty. Alfonso McKinney, guaranteed. Congrats again. But, I think this also illustrates, as much as the Warriors are uneven about things, let's also provide some perspective. They are still in a good place. They are second in the West. And this illustrates why Steve is willing to do this. Like, if they were in this precarious position, like we were mentioning with the Lakers, where they're just fighting for a playoff spot, he wouldn't be experimenting with Steph's staggering role. He would be doing what he did against the Kings, where he's just playing them all the time. And Steve mentioned after the game immediately, like, I'm not looking to do this on a normal basis. This is kind of a one-time, I wouldn't say a one-time thing. Maybe he does it more, but it's more the exception as opposed to the rule, where it was within the context of that week where they didn't have any good feel-good moments, even though technically they had won two of their last three. I think that loss to Houston just really did a lot to them. The way they lost, the fact that Harden buried a three to win the game, he felt like they needed to get that win to then build this momentum. But I think going back to our point this week with his schedule, not only is it a chance to get wins, but I think it's a chance for it to go back to normal for Steph's minutes and, not really have to worry about the consequences that his minutes are staggered, because they'll be fine.
Yeah, so I think the overwhelming thing of this is, let's calm down, guys. Let's calm down. Let's get through this. That's for fans' perspective. It should be a good week for the Warriors with the New York Knicks and the Chicago Bulls. I think we've always said, and Steve has always said, it's a temporary move. If you're mad about it, you won't be seeing it for that much longer. It's something to get through the season. And the biggest thing that the Warriors need throughout this season is they need to finally catch a rhythm. They got it to start the season, and they've been up and down ever since. Ever since that 10-1 start, they've been up and down ever since that. And it's not a drastic measure. I think that this is just a small thing to get them going. And, we'll see what happens. But I think that if they can get through this little, I don't even want to call it a rut, if they can get through this, they'll be fine. And I think that in the playoffs, the fans won't even be thinking about this.
Without a doubt. And to hammer it home, I think that there would probably be more angst to say Steve decided not to do this stagger roll and he did what he did with Steph with the Kings as these other games. I think that he would feel a little bit more uneasy where things are because of his workload, as opposed to, hey, maybe you got a few more wins here or there. This was kind of a stopgap measure, but say he did that against Houston, say he did that against Portland the first time they played him, before rectifying it in Portland. I think that there would be more concern of, hey, what if this is too much for Steph? I mean, you never know with minutes, but they can't afford to be having, you know, too much of issues with the health and all that. Because that's the main reason why the Warriors have kind of gotten this rut in the first place. Like, if Steph wasn't out for 11 games, if Draymond Green wasn't out for 13, you know, as much as you want to talk about complacency or the flare-up with Draymond and KD, like, they would have been reeling off that 10-1 start. So I think what we're seeing, Logan, with this Steph staggering, it's kind of the sausage-making process, and it doesn't look pretty when you are watching up close. But I think from afar, and once you're kind of removed from it as the season goes on, I think you'll see the benefits of it long-term for both his health, for both the second unit becoming more productive, and, you know, them just providing patchwork until DeMarcus comes back.
Definitely. You know, I think, you know, we will see that, and going forward, and, you know, I think they'll never stagger me and you, though. That's the thing.
We're a package deal, so if Dieter wants to get on, it's always got to be with us. But I was just joking there. But here's the thing, Logan. We're talking about this. We frankly don't know exactly what's going to happen. That's why they play the games. That's why we got jobs covering the Warriors. So be sure to check it all out. We got a few deals going on. Go to the Mercury News or East Bay Times. $40 a year. You also get a free Warriors Championship commemorative book. The Warriors HQ newsletter hits your inbox every morning. So sign up for that. Sign up for the Warriors HQ podcast. We're all over the place with iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Music, I'm sure SoundCloud. I'm sure there's some other thing I left out. And then lastly, I'm at MarkG_Medina on Twitter, Medina Syracuse Instagram. Logan, give the plugs.
I'm at Logan M. Murdoch, and look out for the Spotify playlist when we're not covering the Warriors. It's lit.
There you go. This was Let's Say It Was Fun. Thanks for listening.